Shalom and welcome to Sem Torah for Parashat Shoftim. This parasha deals in so many ways and on so many levels with the concept and the lessons of leadership. And we learn about all different kinds of leadership. The parasha, of course, begins with judges, and it moves on to the Sanhedrin. We talk about the king, halachot of the king, Levi'im and Kohanim and Nevi'im. And a lot of other leader-related topics are in this parasha as well. For example, in Perek Yud Zayin, somebody who rebels against leadership. And we learn about leadership in time of war, etc., etc. I'd like to talk for a moment about the first kind of leader in our parasha, and that is the leader, the shofet. Shoftim v'shotrim. You have to appoint judges. Now, we daven three times a day, every single day, Hashiva Shofteinu Kvarishona. Now, it follows the bracha of Tika B'Shofar Gadol. And the reason for that is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet tells us, is that once we have Tika B'Shofar Gadol L'Cheiruteinu, once we have everybody coming to Eretz Yisrael, there is a necessity to judge Rishayim. And the Rambam describes it a little bit more clearly in his commentary to the Mishnah in the first perek of Masechet Sanhedrin. He sees them very directly connected. He sees that the restoration of the judges is a necessary component of Kibbutz Galuyot. The Gemara makes it seem like the Gemara says explicitly that there's going to be Kibbutz Galuyot and then a restoration of the judges. The Rambam says clearly that the restoration of the judges is a part and parcel of Kibbutz Galuyot and the Geula in general. And we have to ask a question: what is it about the institution of judges that is so connected to Kibbutz Galuyot? Why must the restoration of judges, why must Hashiva Shofteinu Kvarishona come right after, and maybe we'll say during, the Tika B'Shofar Gadol? That's the question number one. Question number two is just a question of smichut ha-parshiot, the juxtaposition of the parshiot. At the end of last week's parsha, in Parshat Re'eh, we discussed and we learned about the mitzvot of the Shalosh Regalim. The last two psukim, all the halachot of Aliyah LaRegel, and then the last two psukim of the parsha, Shalosh Pe'amim Bashana Ye'ere'eh Kol Zuchurcha, etc., and then Ish kematnat yado kivrkat Hashem Elokecha Asher Natan Lach. That's the end of Parshat Re'eh. And then we have our parsha, the very next pasuk. There's no change in perek. The very next pasuk, pasuk Yudchet, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol she'arecha. Why? What is the connection between Shalosh Regalim and judges? I should say, with this second question, many of the Mefarshim give their own answers. The Ibn Ezra says, and the Orach Chaim seems to agree with a little more explanation, the Ibn Ezra says that the reason, the connection, is, says the Ibn Ezra, that afal pi she'ata chayav lalechet shlosha pe'amin lamakom, limkom ha-kohanim mishartei ha-mikdash, v'sham tishal me'achukim ve'amishpatim, lo yaspik lecha ad she'yu lecha shoftim b'chol she'arecha. That's the Ibn Ezra, and as the Orach Chaim explains, without quoting the Ibn Ezra, but it seems to be the same answer. Even though you have an obligation to go three times a year at the end of Parashat A, three times a year to Yerushalayim, and there you're going to see the Kohanim, and you're going to see the Sanhedrin in the Lishkat HaGazit, that's not going to be enough for you, because as the Orach Chaim says, there's going to be a backlog. There's just simply too many people and too many court cases, and if we don't have judges, local judges, you're not going to be able to get anything done. The Balaturim gives three answers to our question: what is the connection between judges and Shalosh Regalim and judges? First of all, says the Balaturim, we know that Shoftim are the ones who are going to be setting the Shalosh Regalim. It is the judges themselves who are going to tell us when the Shalosh HaGalim are. Remember, they're the ones who, based on Kiddush HaChodesh and the acceptance of witnesses, they're the ones who are going to tell us when the Shalosh HaGalim are. The second answer, says the Bala Turim, is that we need judges because once, when people go to the Beit HaMikdash on the Shalosh HaGalim, they become very inspired and they begin to take upon themselves Nidarim. And says the Gemara, says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that the Bala Turim quotes, it's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Beit Din has to make sure that you keep your nedarim, and maybe in certain circumstances they can do Ataris nedarim to get, so to speak, in lay terms, to get us out of the nedarim. That's the second answer, and the Bala Turim says a third answer, and that sometimes we know this from other cases and other contexts of halacha. We know that sometimes the Shalosh HaGalim bring with them certain mistakes, certain sins. We indulge in this or that, and we need the Sanhedrin and Shoftim in general, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin Pei Aleph. We need the judges to make sure that we don't sin over the Shalosh HaGalim. Okay, those are various answers to our question, but I'd like to perhaps suggest another answer. So in sum, we really ask two questions. One is, what is the connection between judges, Hashiva Shofteinu Kavarishona, and Kibbutz Galuyot, and the bringing of Mashiach? And the second question was, what is the connection between the Shalosh HaGalim and judges in general? In order to answer these questions, we have to take a brief detour, and we're going to do that by quoting some psukim in Mishlei. These are well-known psukim, but what very often happens in well-known psukim is that we quote some of the pasuk and we forget the other psukim or the context that within which that pasuk is quoted. Anyway, we're going to Mishlei Perek Vav, pasuk Vav. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Lech. It's a great advice and great musar. Lech el nimala atzel. You lazy person, go and look and see the ant. Re'ei derachea, see the ways of the ant. Vachacham, and become wise. And the psukim continue. That was vav vav. This is vav zayin. Asher ein la katzin, shoter u'moshel. An ant doesn't have any rulers, shoter, right? Our parsha, shoftim v'shotrim. You'll see there's a perfect connection in the medrash. And the psukim continue. You have to look at the namel, the ant, and if you happen to be lazy, and don't be lazy like the ant. Now, and it goes on, and you have to work hard like an ant. Now, in general, this is really timeless Torah wisdom. Learn from the ant. Learn from an ant's assiduousness and her industriousness. And that's beautiful and important. But the psukim and Chazal actually learn something else in addition to that. We always quote the pasuk to say, you have to work hard like an ant. But the Medrash and the psukim in the context there say something differently. That even though the ant has no rulers, still he builds. What does that mean? So the Medrash, it's in Devarim Rabbah, Parsha Shoftim, Hey Bet. Devarim Rabbah, Hey Bet. First, the Medrash says what we said. We have to look to the ant and work hard and work hard and work hard. And the Medrash even quotes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that he once found this ditch, this pit, that had immense dimensions, all built from ants. And then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Lefikach Amar Shlomo HaMelech Lech El Namel Ha'atzel. Re'edre cheha vachacham, why, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, af atem, you people, hatkinu lachem mitzvot min ha'olam hazeh la'olam haba. And this is certainly very important lesson for you and me. Here we are in Elul already, Rosh Hashanah is coming, Yom Kippur is coming, and we have to be like an ant. The Medrash says, I didn't quote this part of it, the Medrash there talks about how much an ant collects, even though it doesn't need that much to eat, but who knows what's going to be in the future. You and I also have to collect and collect and collect a storehouse, a warehouse of mitzvot to prepare ourselves for the Olam Haba. Beautiful, beautiful. But the Medrash continues. The Medrash says that we learn another thing from the ant. That even though an ant doesn't have rulers, doesn't have judges, still the ant doesn't steal. Even though there's nobody watching over them, the ant doesn't steal. And the Medrash quotes our Parsha. The ant has no ruler, and they don't steal. And the Medrash actually quotes Rabbi Shimon bar Chalafda, who says that there was once a story of an ant that was carrying this kernel of wheat, and he dropped it. And all the ants came to the kernel of wheat and didn't steal it. And the ant came and took his own kernel and went on his way. And says the Medrash, and you people, Kal Vachomer, I made you Shoftim Vishotrim. I made rulers over you. You certainly, certainly must not steal. You're not allowed to steal. And the Gemara in Eruvin Daf Kuf Amud Bet says exactly that. Says Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il malei lo nitna Torah, if the Torah had never been given, hayinu lemeidim, we can learn certain things from animals. One, we can learn tsni'ut from a cat. A cat apparently is very tsanua. I'm going to skip one and come back to it. We can learn arayot from a yona, from a dove. We don't, apparently a dove is very faithful. We know this from the Midrash and Breishit and elsewhere, and perhaps it's true in nature, but we know the message that a dove is very faithful to its partner, and we also must be faithful and know arayot. And what can we also learn? V'gezel minimala. We can learn stealing from an ant. Now Rashi there says, and quoting the Medrash, what are we learning from an ant? That it doesn't steal from its friends. Very nice. However, this whole idea can actually be put together in a very different way from a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He died in the 19th century. His name is Rav Yaakov Loberbaum from Lisa. He's called Rav Yaakov Milisa. His famous work is called the Nesivos, which is a shortcut for the Nesivos HaMishpat. But he also wrote a sefer on the Chumash called Nachalat Yaakov. And in the Nachalat Yaakov, on our Parsha, I'm sorry, not on our Parsha. Yes, on our Parsha, Parshat Shoftim. The Rav Yaakov Milisa says something incredible and very different than the way we've been understanding so far. And it says like this. I'll read a very brief part of it. Nira, says Rav Yaakov Milisa, Nira kavanat chazal, bazeh, ki achacham, what I'm learning from this, shoftim v'shotrim, and the Medrash, quoting the ant, because the chacham, the Shlomo HaMelech, the great author of Mishlei, the great chacham, ba lahorot lanu derech yashar. What's he coming to teach us? She'ein l'shabeach atzmo b'ma shehu ish yashar. A person shouldn't say, look at me, I'm a straight person. I'm an honest person. V'lo gazalti me'olam. And I never stole. Why? Mishum adam... I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. Kol she'eincha oseh mishum mitzvat rachmana. You can't brag that you never stole. If the only reason why you did it was rak bishvil sheteva sichlecha mechayev, if the only reason why you didn't steal is because your brain told you, your intellect told you, it's the wrong thing to do. Well, guess what, says Rav Yaakov Milisa, guess what, says Shlomo HaMelech, guess what, says the Gemara and the Medrash, you're no better than an ant. An ant also doesn't steal, but doesn't steal from his teva. It's his language is ki teva mutbahu bahem. It's innate. It's instinctual. Ants don't steal. So if the reason why you're so proud of yourself that you don't steal because you're very intellectual and you thought about it and it makes sense to you, says Shlomo HaMelech, you're as good as an ant. The reason why you don't steal is because the Torah told you not to steal. The reason why we do any mitzvah b'nam l'chaveiro, even if it makes sense to us, the mishpatim that we know about, even though they make sense to us, we don't do them, or we do do them, because the Torah told us to, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to, and for no other reason. And Rav Yaakov Milisa goes one step further. This is unbelievable. And we see it in our own day and age, and we've seen it throughout history. Says Rav Yaakov Milisa, because what happens if you say, I'm not going to do something because it makes sense to me, because I think that stealing is wrong, I think murder is wrong, I think adultery is wrong, whatever it is, it just makes sense to me. People shouldn't murder. Or even if I don't think it's so wrong to murder, but you know, if I murder somebody else, someone will murder me, so I use my brain and I say I won't murder. Or I use my brain and I say tzedakah is a good thing. Or I use my brain and I say I shouldn't steal, or whatever it is. So what are you going to do? You're going to learn from an ant. An ant doesn't steal? Sure, an ant doesn't steal from its friends, but says Rav Yaakov Milisa, be'emet kol ma'achalam gezel. Everything that an ant eats is stolen. You're going to learn not stealing from an ant? But the ant does exactly that. We walk around and we say the ant doesn't steal. What do you mean the ant doesn't steal? It is the farmer who plows. It's the farmer who seeds. It's the farmer who weeds. It's the farmer who waters. It's the farmer who harvests. It's the farmer who prepares all these things and comes along the ant and steals somebody else's wheat. His entire existence is stealing. So what happens, says Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, and we see this all the time. I think I'm such a good person because I'm using my brain and I don't steal. And I end up, God forbid, doing the exact opposite thing. Some people who think they're so moral have been the biggest murderers in our history, in human history. They think that they're doing the right thing because they're using their brains. If you don't have the Torah to bind us, if we don't have the Torah to ground us, if we don't have the Torah to tell us what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what do I run to and what do I run away from, then everything can go. I can be like an ant. And I can be just like an ant, which means not a human. But I can also be an ant and I say I don't steal, and I mamish steal all day long. And perhaps that is exactly the key to the geula. As we asked earlier, what is the connection between judges? Having judges being restored, shoftim v'shotrim, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and following the Torah and the ethics of the Torah and the morals of the Torah. Maybe when I do everything, b'nam l'chaveiro and b'nam l'makom, not because I want to. I mean, I also should want to. It also should make sense to me. But the reason I do it is because God told me. Perhaps then we can expect Emir Tzashem Mashiach to arrive. And perhaps that is an answer to our question as well. We asked our second question, what is the connection between Shalosh Regalim and Shoftim? Exactly that. It's not enough to worship God on the three holy days of the year, Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, and I go and I'm spiritual and I'm holy. You have to go back to your homes and go to your shoftim v'shotrim in all of your shearecha, everywhere you live. Every shevet and every city has a Sanhedrin. And it's not just I'm a very holy person, but it's even in my dealings between me and my friends, when it comes to money situations and stealing or whatever other mundane bein adam l'chaveiro activities that I've got. I do what I do because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me. And once I do that, I can never go wrong. And that for sure, Emir Tzashem, Mashiach will arrive. We should be zoche. Of course, to be moral and ethical. Of course, we have to spread the light of Torah to the world and the light of ethics and morals to the world. But we have to remember, we have to realize that my ethics and my morals come from, are rooted in my devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my belief in His Torah, my learning His Torah, getting closer to Him. In Mitzvah Hashem, we all will. And if that's the case, we'll see Ay Hashiva Shovteinu Kvar Rishona, and in Mirtza Hashem, we will hear and we will see the Shofar Gadol L'Cheiruteinu. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.